The Brown Scapular is a special Catholic devotional, so why settle for a flimsy, irritating one that breaks? At scapulars.com, they use super strong American paracord, because your scapular should be as strong as your devotion. They also use the finest Australian merino wool that feels like a warm hug from your heavenly mother. You'll also find handmade rosaries with their distinctive deliverance cross, and Italian-made saint medals, keychains, and jewelry. Get yourself one of the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world. Go to scapulars.com today.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to A Reason for Hope Candid. We are so excited. First of all, my name is Alanis. How's it going? We're riding solo today. The rest of the Candid crew, they've got other objectives, other projects. But I'm really excited to be joined by Kelly Wahlquist today. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited. For those listening, Kelly Wahlquist is a Catholic author, a Catholic speaker, a mom of three.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. It's important to include that because it's a primary vocation. It's a superpower, honestly.
And now I have a new son-in-law, so we can cone him too.
Oh,
we'll get
okay.
him in there too. But
I love
three
that.
Kids.
I love that. Yeah. So Kelly travels all around the country. She empowers women to use their intrinsic gifts in the new evangelization. And she's the founder of WINE, which is an acronym for Women in the New Evangelization. Genius. I love that so much. I'm so excited to hear more about that. But yeah, overall, just a powerhouse of a woman. And I'm so excited to just pick your brain and just converse about femininity. But before we do that, I really did want to learn a little bit about the woman behind the mission. I find that like most of the time, not all of the time, Jesus calls us into a mission out of redemption. I'm not sure if that's like the case for you, but was there ever a point in your life that you felt like just navigating womanhood was just tricky, or maybe even stepping into ministry as a woman? Like, how was that for you?
Oh, that's actually a really good question. And I hadn't really thought of it, like navigating as a woman mm-hmm. being tricky and having it, you know, God changing my plans and putting me there for mm-hmm. a reason for my own growth, right?
Sure.
But I'll tell you, like, growing up, you know, I was born, raised Catholic, you know, and did all the Catholic stuff. Went to Catholic school my entire life, all through grade school and high school and college. And I will say, now that we touched on the woman thing, and as we get to talk about me now having a woman's ministry,
yeah,
most of my friends in high school and college were the guys.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
I was hanging out with, you know, one of my really good friends, Heather, but then there was a group of like eight guys that we just hung out with, you know, and so
cool.
it's kind of funny because now that I look at where God has put my life. But no, so we did all the Catholic things as a Catholic family. But then I kind of started to fall away from my faith in college.
Okay.
I think we see that a lot. Now we're seeing it a lot now.
And, no, 1,000%.
But I started to fall away. And I remember I was being interviewed by someone on Catholic TV. And they were asking me about my journey. Mm-hmm. She was saying, well, what happened? And I said, well, went to college, fell away. And then I came back because I was getting married. So now I was engaged in Connor. So now I had to go back to the church, right? And I'm like, okay, so I was back for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then kind of fell away again.
Okay.
And then I came back again because we had a baby and we had to, you know, have her baptized. And my friend Martha looked at me and she said, honey, you are what we call match, hatch, and dispatch.
Oh, I've
you come
never
to church
heard that
when
before.
You get married, you come to church when you hatch a kid, and you probably come to church for funerals. And I thought,
yikes.
that was kind of my faith journey then. But yeah. God had a plan of sheer goodness. And you know, he was always drawing me into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my youngest was 10 months old and my oldest was 7, Allie was 4, the middle one was 4. And it was back to school night at their little Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And so my husband knows me. We'd been married by 10 years by then, you know, and so as we were leaving, he's like, don't volunteer for everything. And so I went and I volunteered for everything. You know, I volunteer for absolutely everything except for like the father son canoe trip. That was like the only thing
it's
I didn't
really
sign
funny.
Up for. And as I was leaving, my friend Nicole had a Bible study set up
mm-hmm.
and it was all color coordinated. It was so cool. And she's like, oh, Kelly, you've got to do this Bible study. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And she's like, no, you have to do it. It's by my friend Jeff Cavins. It's so great.
Wow.
You have to do this Bible study. And I'm looking at it and it says 24 weeks. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I cannot commit to something for 24 weeks. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's hard enough to commit to flossing your teeth a week before you go to the dentist or whatever, you know, right. Like 24 weeks. And she said, oh, but it's not that. Don't worry about it. We're going to do it once. We'll do it once a month instead. So now I'm doing the math and I'm like, well, that's 2 years.
That's right. You know, yeah.
That's the gestational period of an elephant. I'm like, I can't commit to that. And she said, please, if you sign up, everyone will sign up. And I said, Nicole, I'm so sorry. I just can't. Andy will kill me. I mean, I promised him I wouldn't sign up for everything.
Yeah.
And so the next day, I got a phone call. And this is before we had cell phones. And it was Nicole, but we had caller ID. And, actually, the first caller I got was from Josie, my friend Josie. And she was very excited to talk to me. She said, oh my goodness, Kelly, we saw that you signed up for the Bible study for so 40 of us women signed up. And I was like, what? And so then I called Nicole and she saw the caller ID and she didn't even say hello. She said, just hear me out. And I'm like, oh, Nicole, because she had signed me up. And
yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding? And she gave me a whole amazing list of reasons why I should be in this Bible study. Mm-hmm. You know, that I needed to know my faith. I needed to have a deeper relationship with the Lord. I needed to pass on this faith to these children. Mm-hmm. I mean, she had all these great reasons, but it really was her last three words that sealed the deal for me. And she said, and we have free childcare. And I said, praise God. Praise God. I'm there. I don't even care what the book is. The Bible, that's a bonus. You know, I mean,
sold.
I'm sold. You know, and obviously God meets us where we're at, right? And
right.
I thought, actually, Jeff Caven says this. He says that God gives us what we need wrapped in what we want. And so I looked at what I wanted was I wanted adult conversations. I wanted friendship.
Yeah.
I wanted these relationships with other good, solid Christian Catholic women. You know, this is what I wanted.
Sure.
And what I needed was a deeper relationship with the Lord. Mm. I needed to really, really know my faith and to get into it. And so that's really how I kind of got into scripture. Mm-hmm. And I would say by week one, I was all in. I mean, I fell in love with sacred scripture. I was a nursing supervisor at the time. And I spent so much time, even on my breaks, I would be reading scripture. And so that was in September. In December, I met Jeff Cavins because our kids went to school together. And his daughter and Tony and my daughter Allie were in the same class. And I went up to him and I said, oh, Mr. Cavins, you know, my name's Kelly Wahlquist. I love your Bible study. It has completely changed my life. And I said, there's just one thing I don't like about it. And he looked at me over his glasses, mm-hmm. like this look, and he said, mm-hmm. and what's that one thing? And I said, that I didn't invent it, because it's how my mind works. You know, everything is color coordinated. You see the graph. You can see everything laid out. You can see where that which was concealed in the Old Testament mm-hmm. was revealed in the New Testament through Jesus. And I just loved all the connections.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I've heard about you. I want to talk to you. And I was like, oh, no. You know, I'm like, who are you talking to? You know,
yeah.
My college friends? Because they can't believe I'm, you know, so into scripture now. But it was Nicole. He had talked to her and she said, yeah, I think Kelly would be a really good leader of this.
Wow.
And so I ended up working with Jeff for 2 years, just working. I was still working as a nurse, but I was kind of helping him organize stuff. And mm-hmm. then at one point he just said, you have too many gifts. You know, you should be doing something more. Mm-hmm. And so then I became the director of community relations for The Great Adventure, which was his Bible study. So then I went out around the country teaching people how to put on a Catholic Bible study.
Whoa.
So, I mean, God has a plan of sheer goodness, right? But
yeah. It
may not be your plan or what you think. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I loved my job. I loved nurse. I loved being a nurse.
Yeah.
You know?
But the Lord had different plans for you.
The Lord
and you
had,
yielded. That's what's most important.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. I love the way you talk about scripture. And how it just like opened, it clicked. I think it's such a grace though, because there have been moments, even in my life, when I open up scripture, I'm like, what am I reading? And maybe I just don't have the heart for it in the moment. And then it just clicks one day and you're like, this is salvation. Like, this is the word of God. And it just makes sense. And it is such a divine like grace. But even like going back to femininity and on that whole topic of, you know, just like the way the enemy attacks the feminine heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think we like to think that he's getting creative nowadays, but in reality, the devil is so many things. I don't think creative is one of them. We can like look back at the garden and we see that this onslaught has been going on since like the very beginning when he, you know, tempted Eve in the garden. So as someone who like works so closely with women, do you find that that it's because women are weak and that's why we're being targeted? Or like why, especially because you are so familiar with scripture, why do you think that there's just like this target on women's back specifically?
I don't think it's because women are weak, but I think it is the weakness that that is targeted, right?
Mm.
So I when we look at creation and we look at Genesis 2, the creation of man, right?
Yeah.
So we see that God creates Adam out of dirt, out of matter, and it's good.
Right.
It's good. And he breathes life into Adam, Theonoustros, God breathes, and Adam awakens. And the first thing Adam sees is God. But Adam's first reality is to work and to guard. He is to bod and shmar the garden. He is, so his first orientation is to work. And then we see God taking a rib from Adam's side and he creates. And the word is banah. It means to build.
Okay.
And Hebrew words always have a lot of different meanings.
Sure.
There's always like a core meaning. And that word banah also means to have an intuitive knowledge into the things of God.
Hmm.
So Hebrew scholars believe that because woman was banah, that she got a double dose of this. And don't you kind of think that when you see like a woman's intuition or just you, I remember saying, or everyone has said it, you know, like you think your mom has eyes in the back of her head, you know,
right, kind of that thing.
So God, banah, he builds Eve. And Eve awakens, and the first thing Eve sees is God.
Mm.
But her first orientation is Adam. It's relationship. It's for him.
Whoa.
She's created for him, and he knows it. He's really excited. You know, he's like, boom, boom, boom. I mean, I'm really paraphrasing scripture there, but he's very excited about it. And he's like, finally, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And in the Hebrew, too, it means my equal, someone who will walk next to me and meet my gaze, not be before me, not be behind me, but who will meet my gaze. And so we see that before the fall, love is in order. Everything is in order.
Mm.
You know, it's love is in order between man and God. Love is in order between man and himself.
Sure.
Love is in order between man and woman. And love is in order between man and creation. And then when the fall happens, it all falls out of order.
Hmm.
We are all called to be good stewards, whether that means making wise financial decisions for our families, for our parishes, or for organizations that we may advise or direct. Owning gold and silver is easy, and we're happy to be partnered with St. Joseph's, who has exclusively focused on helping families protect their wealth in gold and silver for over a decade. Their pricing is very competitive, and their dedicated retirement team was recognized last year as only one of two dealers in the nation who meet the stringent criteria of integrity, value, and dependability by an independent trust company. Take the steps today to protect your family from potential financial stress and allocate some of your hard-earned dollars to gold and silver as good stewards. Go to www.stjosephpartners.com/array of hope to learn how you can protect your loved ones at this important moment in history. Again, that is www.stjosephpartners.com/array of hope.
So if you're wondering how you can help this ministry, rating and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help others hear it, as well as sharing it with your friends and your family. So join us in this mission by rating, reviewing, or sharing this episode with someone you think needs to hear it. And we want to thank you for your continued support of A Reason for Hope podcast.
And so what the evil one does is he goes then for our weaknesses, you know, once the fall has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And for women, I believe a lot of that is relational. And again, that in order, relation with the Father, you know, with the Trinity, relation with other people, relation with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that weakness, women, here? I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't do this.
Totally.
I'm weak. I shouldn't be here. I mean, all those evil things that are whispered in.
Yeah.
And there is, and I can't say his name because it's really long and I'll have to email it to you.
Okay.
But his quote is, I think his name is like Eremos. I'll find it. But his quote is that all the work of redemption was to put love back in order.
Mm.
So everything Christ did, all of our salvation, right? It's to get us back into right relationship with him.
To restore.
To restore.
That's beautiful.
And yeah, so I think, and for women, and that's, it's about relationship. And that's why I do what I do. That's why, you know, we can talk about wine in a little bit too.
Yes, please, please.
But that's how wine began, was to invite women into relationships with other women, good, solid Christian women, so we can go deeper in our relationship with the Lord.
Right.
Right. And that's where we're going to find that peace that surpasses all understanding, and that joy. It really is where we find our joy.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I think Chesterton says that joy is the hidden product of Christianity. You know, when you really are in love with the Lord,
amen.
It is that joy it's that beautiful. Just kind of comes out. So, yeah.
Yeah. So practically, how does wine work? Is it a Bible study for women, or what else do you guys have
it's
to
so
offer
much.
Women?
It's crazy. Okay. Yeah. So wine, I'll give you the, so wine, while it is a fun name, there's no doubt. I mean,
I love
fun
it.
Name.
Yeah.
but it stands for Women in the New Evangelization.
Okay.
So it's not about the wine we drink. It really comes from scripture, from John 2:5. So it's the wedding of Cana.
Okay.
And it's Our Lady's last words to us in sacred scripture, where she says, do whatever he tells you, right? Mm. So it's about doing the will of God. But we contend that as women, we are radically relational, as we just said, because in the garden, we were created for relationship. Actually,
right.
My first book is created to relate,
that's
and
right.
that's what we're created for. So it's so much easier, to do God's will when you're surrounded by your sisters in Christ, who are supporting you, nurturing you, you know, lifting you up when you're falling down. And one of the most important things is rejoicing with you when you are elated.
Yeah.
Because another thing with women is they can be very competitive. And in the 10 years of wine, I've not witnessed it once.
Really?
Because it's got such a charism of unity.
Wow.
And I know, that's it. It's got a beautiful charism of unity. And the beauty of it is that wine invites women to work in their gifts so that we can build up the body of Christ. So we want everyone to be in their gifts, but the difference about that is we rejoice in the gift of other.
Right.
We really do. And I see it at, it's, you know, really pretty much is the visitation. Because you can see Mary and Elizabeth, and that just that joy and that gift that Mary is carrying this Christ child. And Elizabeth could have just stopped in her tracks and been like, are you kidding? Seriously, Lord? I have been so good and so faithful for so long.
Yeah.
And this little whippersnapper gets to carry the Christ child, not me. You know, but she didn't, right? She embraced it, and she embraced the gift of other and rejoiced in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that really is what wine is about. It's about building women up in their giftedness.
Beautiful.
So we can labor joyfully in the vineyard. So we do have different events and offerings.
Okay.
Yeah, we have conferences. We've been doing them since 2015 was our first one. And we actually held the first ever National Catholic Women's Conference.
Ooh.
Very close to where we are today in Philadelphia.
When was this?
It was in 2017.
Ooh,
it was amazing.
That sounds like a dream.
I would
love that.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Fun. And we had 32 different women's apostolates and ministries represented.
Okay.
Because with wine, that's what we want to do. We're a little nonprofit, right? But we want to highlight the stuff that's out there that is tried, trusted, and true.
Mm.
You know, we know Women of Grace is awesome. We know Walking with Purpose is awesome. We know Magnificat is awesome. We know the Military Council of Catholic Women. You know, so it's like, however we can help get the word out about all these, we want to do that.
Yes.
And so it was really fun. We had a lot of people represented. And then we also have evening events called Women, Wine, and Wisdom, where we do have a little wine. Sometimes.
I've been waiting for that. That's so cool.
It's so funny because people, when they see they'll see our tablecloth or they'll hear the name wine, they'll be like, I like wine.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, come on in, you know? So then they get, the name does really bring them in, but then they really recognize that it is really scriptural and sacramental.
So much deeper than
so much deeper.
Substance from this earth. Yeah.
But it's so important. I mean, that just that invitation into relationship is the most important thing.
Mm.
And like with Nicole, although she did it in a very sneaky way by signing me up for a Bible study.
Yeah.
It was an invitation into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, wow, that is, we need to do that. We need to keep inviting people. Actually, on the back of all of our stuff at Wine, it says one invitation can have an eternal ripple effect. And look what Nicole did.
It's true.
And look what I'm doing now, 20 years later.
Yes.
You know, it's just amazing. And to this day, she's on our board of directors and she's so funny. She's like, I can't believe I did that. She is the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
She's like, that had to be the Holy Spirit because I would not do that.
That's so good.
She knows she did it, but she's like, I can't believe I did it. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole.
So
right?
needed. No, that's so incredible. I love the way you're describing it is so good, how there's like no contention between the women. Because when you describe it as like building up the body of Christ, you come to understand like the arm cannot reject the leg, the head cannot reject the foot, whatever. Like it is a true body. And if you are like encouraging them in their own unique gifts, it's like we can collab in this. If we're the body of Christ, we're not in competition with one another. We're like complementing this whole structure of Jesus's body, which is so needed. And I think I heard an interview of you saying like what really started this for you was like a revelation from the Lord saying like my body's broken. And right like you are building that in a very real practical sense, like you're building up the body of Christ through all of these different members. It's so needed.
Yeah, that's how Wine, the actual ministry, came to be. I had flown into Napa, meeting my good friend, Patty Januzzi, who lives here in New Jersey.
Cool.
I was meeting her
Represent.
for the Napa Institute. We got there a little early, and so we were in our room, and we had our little veranda. And of course, what do you think you get when you're in Napa? A gift basket with some wine, you know. And so our wine happened to be Rosary. It was a rosé called Rosary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was hysterical.
That's awesome.
So we had a little glass of wine and we were sitting out in the veranda and we were overlooking a vineyard. And over the whole vineyard was a beautiful statue of the Blessed Mother who was watching over the vineyard. This is at Trinitas Cellars, named after the Trinity too. I mean,
beautiful.
Just gorgeous. And the Holy Father, Pope Francis, had just been Pope for about 3 months. And he did one of his impromptu, you know, interviews, like on the plane. And he called for a deeper, more profound theology of women. And I had just opened my computer and saw that he had just given this interview. And I'm like, whoa, what is the Holy Father asking us? And I was like, what is Jesus asking us through his vicar? What is this? I mean, the church has a beautiful theology of women. And we see it in the number one saint, Mary. And, you know, but in so much of what women and women saints have done in the 2000 years, right? And I said, but what is he calling us to? So I quickly called 20 women who are leaders of ministries all around the country and invited them to my place in Minnesota for a weekend of prayer and discernment and discussion. And they are the busiest women I know. So I thought 3 would show up and 17 showed
up.
Yeah. So we had a great weekend. And then we all left there with intentional prayer. And here's to what you were speaking about is what I heard in my heart was, whereas the Lord said to St. Francis, rebuild my church, I heard heal my body. The body of Christ is battered, bruised, and broken. I need you as women working in these beautiful gifts I've given you in your womanhood. And, you know, John Paul would call them like the gifts of the feminine genius.
Right.
So that receptivity, the sensitivity, the generosity, and all those maternal gifts and because it does not matter if we physically have given birth or not, we are endowed with these gifts.
Right.
And so that's what I was hearing. And from that came Wine. And I wish I could take credit for the name. Can't. I was at a restaurant on the water in Florida with a powerful little sister, Sister Kathleen. And I was telling her about this idea and what I wanted it to do. And I said, I want it to be like a movement in the church that really elevates women in their dignity, in their giftedness, tells them the truth about who they are and lets them live that, but then also gives them the tools to do it and connects with other women. Yeah. And I said, I want it to be something like Women in the New Evangelization because it's all got to be about sharing the gospel.
You know?
And she's like, well, then call it that. And I said, well, sister, that's a lot. I said, that's a mouthful. And she said, no, it's not. It's Wine. And I was like, oh, you're brilliant. So good. Women in the New Evangelization. So, yeah. So that's really what it's about. It's about really elevating the others in gift so we can just continue to grow. Oh, one thing you said, too, when you were talking about also building the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It is. What is the result when you're working in a charism? Now you think of this, if you're working in your charism, which is a gift given to you by the Holy Spirit, not for you. Isn't that nice? Like, thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me a gift, not for me, but for others, right? To build up the kingdom. So you're working in it, a charism, you know what to do, when to do it, and you do it and it seems natural. And then you're like, why did I do that? How did I know that? You know, all of a sudden it's just such a natural gift. But one of the things with charisms is the result of them when you're working in them is joy. Like you're so excited. And so now imagine having all these women together, all coming together, working in their gifts and being joyful and joyful in the gifts of other and building up the body of Christ. I mean, this is why we say at Wine, we labor joyfully in the vineyard. Not always do you hear the word labor with joyful,
right?
But we're like, with wine you do. So, and I think about just like I could get up and speak and I can create things, you know, marketing stuff. I love that. Oh, decorating? No way. No way. Wouldn't even know what to do. And yet I watch these women all around the country and I'm like, that is incredible.
Yes. Yeah.
Like your giftedness is amazing.
Right.
And so I do see this with groups all around the country that are wine groups is if you sat down with these women and you were just talking to them, just hearing their stories, if you weren't Catholic, if you didn't have a faith and you were listening to them, you'd be like, why are you so happy? Mm-hmm. Like your life sounds like it was a lot of suffering. Because these women have suffered, but they suffered with Jesus, you know, and they know the hope and they know our hope is in the Lord.
Yes.
And they come together and they're all phenomenal and they're so fun. And I love, and when they meet each other, like when the West Texas girls come up to Jersey and meet the Jersey girls, they're like best friends now.
Yeah.
And then Minnesota, California, and they all just, you know, it's the joy of the Lord.
It really is. It's an overflow of joy. That's beautiful. It's rare to hear about that, even in like a secular world, which is so unfortunate because you hear about like this rise in femininity, like feminism, but it's not reflected through the way that we treat our sisters, unfortunately. I was actually watching Instagram last night, and there was this reel. I'm so annoyed at myself because I didn't like it or anything, so I can't find it anymore. But it was this skit, and it was like a mom being asked by their son, like, hey, mom, like, what does it mean to be a man? And the mom is like, let's ask like Merriam-Webster. And so she Googles synonyms of man, of just man. And she was saying, well, it says here you're courageous and you're bold and you're strong and all of these really awesome adjectives. And then the daughter comes and she's like, whoa, mom, like, what does it mean to be a woman? What does it say about me? And she Googles the synonyms and it's like, well, it says here voluptuous and like sexy and like all of these like really raunchy synonyms to describe like the exterior of a woman. And unfortunately, like that is a lot of like secular culture, what they see in women. It really is such a shame, even like with the sexual revolution. But to end on a high note, we kind of touched on it, but I would love to just dive in. Like what is the attributes of a woman, like especially in regards to JP2's like feminine genius, like what does he describe? What does God describe or deem like his daughters to be?
I thought you were asking me, what is a woman?
What is a woman? What's that guy's
Walsh
name?
Matt Walsh.
Matt Walsh. Yes.
So Matt, if you're listening, I do like that. I do like the attributes given to the men where you're saying bold and courageous. And because those are, I mean, there is a masculine genius as well. And the men are. They are protectors. Mm-hmm. They are providers. Mm-hmm. They are bold. They are courageous.
Yeah.
You know, all these things. For women, when we look at that feminine genius, which beautifully complements the masculine genius, we see those gifts of receptivity and sensitivity and generosity. We'll just take those and think about receiving. Women, I mean, obviously your body's created to receive,
right?
But we also receive so much more. We receive the hearts of other people with listening, with compassion, with emotion, right? And then with sensitivity, it is to receive and respond. And there's a beauty there. Women have this natural tendency toward mercy, to see and respond with the heart, to love, to care for other, to be relational.
Yeah.
I mean, these are such beautiful gifts. And I think right now when we look at the world and we see that they're not happy, they're not joyful, they don't have the Lord, you know, and they're not living how they were created to live. You know, we're created in his image and likeness. And we see that in the Trinity. You know, you've got the love of God the Father is so powerful and perfect and it's poured out on God the Son so perfectly, and he perfectly receives it and perfectly pours it back.
Mm-hmm.
You have this whole, you know, what is it? I don't know, the cycle of just perfect love. And it's so powerful that from it, you know, proceeds a whole nother person, the Holy Spirit. That's right. What we're created in and for.
So cool.
And so when we look at those perfect attributes that we have in us that we can tap into, and if we can live those and live those, you know, like with our husbands, you know, whatever it is, live with our relationships, with our friends, mm-hmm. with our family, then that's where we're going to find the joy.
Right.
So we just have to tell women, you know, uncover those, you know, it's like, there's something so beautiful about being kind.
Right.
I mean, there is, and merciful.
Right.
You know?
Right, right, right. So beautiful. It bears fruit. Like,
yep.
That's like what we're created for. Not even like in a, like you were saying, you don't have to be a practical, like a mother per se, but we're called to nurture and mother and, mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. I love being a woman. This is so empowering. Awesome. All right. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Kelly, for being here with us. This is so great. For everyone who's listening, how can they keep in touch with you?
They can find me at catholicvineyard.com. So that's mm-hmm. the wine, women, and the new evangelization website.
Awesome.
And we've got great things. Like I said, we have events, but we also have book clubs and Bible studies on there that are really good and fun.
Yeah.
Very fun. But they're always deep. Our latest book is Wisdom from Women in Scripture.
Ooh.
And it's really good. Dr. Mary Healy is one of the authors, myself, Alyssa Bormas, Teresa Tamio, Melissa Overmeyer, and Liz Kelly. So it's six women that really bring you into a relationship with six women in Scripture.
Mm.
And we have always had a virtual vineyard. We had a virtual vineyard before COVID hit, and then everyone was in our vineyard, you know, because everyone had to go virtual.
Right.
But we do our book clubs online. And if you don't make them online, you know, like the season that we're doing them, you can download them and watch them yourselves too. So it's awesome. It's great. It's so good.
That's so cool.
Please come, ladies, please come join us
please
at Women
do.
In the New Evangelization Wine.
I'm sold.
Come get a taste of wine. How's that?
Come get a taste of wine. I love that. That's so great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your wisdom. Thanks for sharing a little bit about your heart, your ministry with us. And that's it for today's episode. So thank you guys so much for watching. We'll catch you on the next one. God bless.
Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of A Reason for Hope Candid. We're happy to be a part of your faith journey. Stay connected with us by following us on your favorite social media platform at R4H Podcast. That's letter R, number 4, letter H Podcast. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to see the video footage of this episode. See the show notes for additional resources. Until next episode, peace be with you.